Good afternoon. Welcome. Happy New Year. It's Brian Noonan in for Ro Khan and Anna DeVlantes. The final day of the holiday schedule here at WGN. Tomorrow, everything will be back to quote-unquote normal. Ro and Anna will be back where they belong right here from 3 until 7. My pleasure to be in here again today. This day is still kind of a holiday. A lot of people are off. I know my dry cleaner was closed today, so the upstairs where management sleeps, they are completely empty, so everybody is still off here, but we are looking forward to starting 2017 with you. Big show planned. We're here until 7. 312-981-7200 is the number. That's for phoning and texting. And if you call in, you'll be talking to Craig Collins. He's executive producing the big broadcast today. If you're nice to him, you get to me. That's how it always works. Even in a new year, the same old rules apply. That's how we do it. Brian Noonan Show on Facebook and Twitter if you want to stay current via social media. And who doesn't? All the kids are having social media these days. I know about hacking and I know about social media, so that puts me, I could be president someday if I'm lucky. Violetta is here. Sam is in for Kevin today, and Veronica is handling the news. Happy New Year to all three of you. We're glad to good to see you all. Sam, did you have a good New Year's?
Yeah, it was fine. I didn't do anything. I didn't go out.
No,
I never go out on New Year's Eve ever.
That's smart. It's one, it's very expensive. Two, it is, I know it's a cliche, but it is kind of amateur night. It's one of those nights where you feel compelled to have a good time. And if you don't have a good time, you're like, oh, what did I do wrong? Nothing. You're just jammed into a bar with 7,000 other people paying an exorbitant amount of money for, you know, a plastic hat.
It's a try hard day.
It is.
That's what it is. You try to have fun.
Right. And I don't like to try to have fun. I either have fun or I don't. Violetta, what did you do? I anticipate Violetta having a good time on New Year's Eve.
Who's asking?
Me.
No,
what,
yeah.
Did you forget who you were working with today?
No, I just wasn't sure if I wanted to share my plans. No,
well,
I
you
had...
don't have to give us all the gory details. Did you go out? Did you stay in?
I did go out.
Okay.
I don't like the day that much either. I'm always like, I don't have any plans. I'm going to make it relaxed. And then as soon as the clock gets closer to midnight, I get like anxiety.
That you didn't go out?
No, I mean, I'm out, but I'm just
but
saying, like, the hype and everyone just put so much energy in the
Did you get all gussied up?
Yeah, I do enjoy getting gussied up.
Yeah, the ladies all, where I was working on New Year's Eve at Tony and Tina's, all the ladies were gussied up. It was beautiful. Everybody, you know, even some of the guys, I gussied up.
But then the clock strikes midnight and fake eyelashes are falling off. My mascara's running.
I watched a group of young ladies with their gentlemen who were, to say they were drunk in their New Year's Eve festivities would be an understatement. One of the women tried to talk to me, and honestly, she could have been speaking Spanish, could have been French. I don't know. I think it was English because I did pick up a word. They were so drunk. And then about 20 minutes after they had left the theater, we see flashing lights outside. There were police cars and an ambulance. I don't know what happened to this group. I don't know if they were mugged. I don't know if they had gotten in a fight with themselves, which seems logical because, and Veronica, you and I have seen a couple New Year's Eves. You know this phenomenon. The ladies get real drunk and then start talking to people, and their drunk bro boyfriends get very upset.
And then there's a big fight, and then
yes.
it's just silliness.
So I don't know if the fight was because there was some of that brewing before they left the theater. The guys were upset that the girls were dancing and being flirtatious, and the guys were just drunk and stupid. So I don't know what was going on, but it was fun for those of us still left in the theater. We observed the police come and watched a couple guys get into the ambulance, but then they got out of the ambulance. So the great unanswered questions of New Year's Eve, always so much fun. It was a treat. Did you do anything special, Veronica?
I sat on my couch and watched marathons of either the Cooking Channel or the new Netflix show OA.
Oh, I've heard about that. I haven't seen it.
I finished it. I loved it.
All right.
It was really trippy, but really good.
There you go. See, that's a nice way to spend New Year's Eve. I don't need to go out. This was the first year in a while that I have been out because I was working. The last number of New Year's Eves, we were home, and it was just... It was so much fun to just not have to worry about it.
No hangover the next day.
No hangover.
Didn't spend any money.
Oh.
I think I still have a hangover.
Really?
Yeah.
See, you were partying pretty hard, I bet.
I was.
There's only one way to fix a hangover.
Keep drinking.
Yeah,
keep
drinking. A little hair of the dog. Did you go to one of these big like hotel parties, Violetta, where it's in a big, huge banquet room and there's some band? Did you go to Chi-Town Rising? Where'd you
well,
go?
Well, my parents actually have a huge party.
Oh, so at the restaurant?
Well, they actually have it at a banquet hall, so it was a huge concert.
Oh.
But that's not where I did most of the damage. My sister and I went out after.
Uh-oh.
Which is dangerous.
See, you cut loose from the family and then you're on your own.
Wild
young ladies.
Late.
Yeah, see, at some point, how late do you stay up?
You have to keep drinking to stay up.
Well, or you could just go home and go to bed. But see, that's the old man in me saying, yeah, time to go to sleep. But that being said, for the first time in ages, you know what time I got home? 4 a.m.
Whoa. 4 a.m.
Yeah, that's right. I could still do it. I wasn't drinking. That's probably why I was able to stay up till 4 o'clock. I had my one Manhattan as I was still in character doing the countdown, you know, because you got to have a mixed drink to look, you know, rat packy. And then, but then it was like, all right, just hanging out talking. And so I call my wife at midnight because she was at home doing some work. And I called, I wish her a happy new year. And then the next morning, like yesterday morning, I guess, she was gone when I got up because I slept till 11 yesterday. I have not slept till 11 o'clock probably in 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. She was gone. She was like, I didn't hear you come in. I was like, what time did you get home? And then I have to do the, 4 o'clock seems late. 3:45. That's when I got home. Got home at 3:45.
Just a 15-minute buffer.
Because that sounds better. Sure. I'm home before 4. That's what you have to do. You got to hem and haw a little bit. It probably was closer to 3:45 than 4, but what are you going to do?
How was the crowd at Tony and Tina?
Packed. We're jam-packed. It was, I think, sold out, I think. It was over,
well, most of them are,
people.
But I wondered on New Year's Eve if that
it was
still
big,
ideal.
And again, people were dressed to the nines. I talked about this last night. You can listen to the podcast. There was a group of gypsies there, which was exciting. There were gypsies. There were toddlers. There were somebody offered to read my palm. I discovered who the gypsy Elvis was. There was a lot of stuff going on that night.
Who is Gypsy Elvis?
Singing Sam is Gypsy Elvis.
That's amazing.
Not you. And you think I'm making that up because you're sitting here. No, I was told Singing Sam is the Gypsy Elvis. So you can look that up. Do your own research. You know, Google it if you want. You'll find out that's the case. All right, listen, when we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the what happened down in St. Louis. That was not good.
Do we have to?
Well, not too long. We're also going to meet some folks who are starting a new group. It's called Allies for Innocence, and it's that'll be after 5 o'clock. And it's for, you know, the big news story over the last few days has been the amount of murders and shootings in Chicago over the last year. And there's a group of people who are involved in this that we tend to forget about. So we'll find out about that. We'll also talk about the president's goodbye speech. And then it is the return of Mark Sapelsa after 6 o'clock. And Tom Skilling will be here at 6:30. So a lot to get to here on the Rokan Show. Brian Noonan in for Rokan and Anna DeVlantes. Ro and Anna will be back with you tomorrow afternoon at 3. I have had the pleasure of filling in for them over the last couple weeks, and it has been a lot of fun. All right, let's just a few minutes, because I can't relive the last few hours of torment that went on in St. Louis. And actually, it was only the last few minutes of the game that turned into torment. The Blackhawks and Blues tied at 1 into the third period, and then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. Did the Blackhawks forget they were playing a game? Something went horribly wrong in St. Louis. The Blackhawks lose the Bridgestone Winter Classic 4-1 at the hands of the hated St. Louis Blues. Yeah, I went strong with the rivalry talk there, Sam. I went hated St. Louis Blues. Well, all right, you were watching the game. You were paying attention. What the hell happened?
Well, everything unraveled after Tarasenko scored. And that first goal, he was actually trying to throw a pass into the slot, and it hit off of the skate of Niklas Hjalmarsson and went into the net. And then from that point forward, it was 1-1.
Yeah.
8 minutes left to go.
It looks like the game's going to go into we're going to get some free hockey.
Right.
Extra hockey.
And sometimes when you are playing a neck-and-neck game, it's back and forth, you know.
One little thing
turns into, helter-skelter. Then Tarasenko came down a one-on-one chance and beat Crawford and then an empty netter. So, I wouldn't look at 4-1 and think that they were dominated. They gave up a lead. They had the lead 1-0, gave it up, and then lost obviously 4-1.
Yeah, it wasn't like the Blues, you know, had them, like, dominated them the whole game. But now they sit at 2-2-0 against the Blues for the season. They've lost what, 3 of the last 4?
5 out of 6.
5 out of 6. They're 0-3 in Winter Classics, 1-4 in outdoor games. Now, of course, you don't put all of that into what's going on now, but it's concerning to a point. You also know to say, well, listen, it's a long season. There's still a lot of hockey. But there seems to be a trend that is not favoring the Blackhawks right now.
It's like market regression, right? Because they were winning so many games early in the season that they shouldn't have won. So
they kept coming back from behind, winning in the last couple minutes.
they're due for a rough patch, and this happens every season. Last year it happened in February. I think the year before it was in January. Mm-hmm. And then everybody who says the Hawks are going to win another cup, then they say it's time to trade Kane and Crawford and fire Q.
Yes, oh.
Look, this is what happens in sports. Teams get hot, teams get cold. Right now the Blackhawks are still without Marian Hossa. They're still without Marcus Kruger.
Right.
They've been battling injuries all season long. And they're still in first place in the Western Conference. Now, Minnesota's hot.
Yeah, and Minnesota's coming.
Minnesota's only a point behind now in the division. You got San Jose 4 points back, Anaheim 5 points back, St. Louis now just 6 points back. So the gap is tightened. But whose deck of cards do you want in hockey right now? I mean, it's hard to ignore the roster that they've built and the team success that they've sustained.
Right. I'm not worried long term. It's just, as you say, with the standings getting tighter and tighter. You don't want to wait until the last month to have to make that move to spread yourself out a little bit to, you know.
I see what you did there.
Yeah, I don't know what was happening. Was that
you
was,
spread yourself out. You spread out your thoughts.
I was spreading out my thoughts because I was hearing, there's a lot of people looking for you, obviously, and I'm hearing it in my head. So that's all right. Channel 7 wants to talk to you.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Oh, interesting.
That'd be fun. Maybe you could hang out with Cheryl Scott.
I saw Cheryl Scott last night.
Did you really? Where
was
Cheryl Scott?
I'm not going to tell you where, but I did see her.
Were you out at a place, a night spot?
That was a night spot, yeah.
Restaurant or tavern?
She didn't go to taverns, I don't think.
Don't worry, Sam. We told Channel 7 you're busy. Yeah. You'll have to call them
back.
Yeah,
he can't. I'm talking to Sam right now. You tell everybody over there to just hold their water.
That's interesting.
You tell Krzyzewski, I'm busy right now with Sam. Gia Greco, whoever's calling you.
If Ron Majors was still there, I'd take the call.
Oh, yeah, I would take the call for
him. But he's not there anymore. So.
No. Listen, did you give your digits to Scott last night? Did you give your work digits to her? Now she's trying to reach you?
No.
Under the umbrella of Channel 7 is calling? Is that how it's working out? Hey, listen, I got to call Sam because I met this guy last night. He said he's a sportscaster.
I never bring that up when I meet people.
She was just checking if he actually worked here. Is there a Sam there?
She had her underlings call. Call over, see if there's a Sam Panayanovich, who works at WGN. Then maybe we'll take this once. Now they're going to be Facebook friends. Then there might be some texting involved. Is that the progression?
You sound jealous.
Who wouldn't be?
Okay. Come on,
of course.
Well, there you go.
I'm not, you know, why not? I don't go to places where Cheryl Scott would hang out, you know, unless it's a grocery store. Where am I going to be out at some night spot where Cheryl Scott is? Was she still wearing that dress from New Year's Eve?
She was not.
She looked nice that night.
I thought Jose Sanders stole the show with that banana yellow tuxedo, to be honest.
I tell you what, Jose, every New Year's Eve, Jose's game is on. His fashion game is on point. When they used to have him at Carnival, he'd be dead. That's a guy I want to party with because Jose Sanders looks like he is always having a good time.
And then the one guy, I know we're going back to New Year's Eve, but the one guy said, we wish you all a happy 2018. And Cheryl Scott was like, it's 2017.
Oh, was that Terrell?
Maybe.
Because she was with Terrell most of the night.
Then it was Terrell. Terrell said happy 2018.
Listen, Terrell's looking ahead. He's looking at his next
then
contract.
Then he blamed the champagne.
Of course he did. Him and Don Lemon. Everybody's blaming getting drunk. If you're on live TV and you're that hammered, maybe it's time to sit down.
It's always hard to write the date for the first time. First time you have to write the date, you're like, 2017.
Are you still writing checks, Violetta?
No, but I had to fill out some paperwork today and I had to put the date down.
And you forgot?
Yeah, I was like, my brain. What day is it? What year is it?
I don't know. Man, you partied hard. If your brain still hurts on the second, you partied hard. All right, let's do this. And on the other side of the news, we're going to talk about the president coming in to give his farewell speech. What do you think he should talk about when he comes to Chicago on January 10th? We'll give you some details and some historical perspective, all of that, and perhaps some Hamilton music. Oh, beautiful.
Partisan fighting. Pick up a pen, start writing. I want to talk about what I have learned, the hard-won wisdom I have earned. As far as the people are concerned, you have to serve. You could continue to serve. One last time.
I could just keep that going. It's Brian Noonan in for Rokan and Anna DeVlantes. That, of course, from the hit musical Hamilton, which I will finally see tomorrow. I'm so excited. But it's very fitting to play that song today as we heard that President Obama will be coming to Chicago next Tuesday to deliver his farewell speech to the nation. Now, that song, obviously, from Hamilton, so Alexander Hamilton helped George Washington write his goodbye, his farewell speech in 1796 when George Washington decided not to run for president again. He was letting John Adams take over as president, or he was going to have the election. John Adams eventually became president. So, but Barack Obama coming to Chicago to finish his political career where it and his presidency where it began in Grant Park 8 years ago. So he is coming back. And in an email today, the president said that since 2009, we faced our fair share of challenges and come through them stronger. I'm wondering, as the president comes here, what you think he's going to say. He's obviously going to trumpet the programs that he's put into place. He's going to try to, you know, keep his legacy alive. But he also is doing this, and I think this is a smart move based on how the country is. He's going to try to tell us, listen, it's going to be okay. Whatever happens, this is America, and we've come through things before, and we'll come through whatever comes next. Everything will be fine. It's that smooth transition, that, I think, calming voice from one administration to the next. Now, other presidents have done this. I mentioned George Washington, and if of course I'm jumping now, but if you want to weigh in, 312-981-7200. From the 269, somebody said, I think President Obama should say, good luck, you're going to need it, I'm out of here. That'll be short and sweet. I don't think that's going to be the case. But I was reading over, and this is amazing that I did this. I was reading over George Washington's farewell speech from his address from 1796. And I will say this. Boy, back in the 1700s, those guys loved to write. They a lot of words, very flowery language, and I'm not dumb by any stretch. But at some point, you're like, oh my gosh, they're going in circles here.
You'd be amazed at how much smarter you are when you have a quill pen, Brian.
I guess a powdered wig and a quill pen, and suddenly you are just the most
articulate,
beautiful writer, just nonstop. But there were some things from George Washington's speech that I highlighted that I was like, oh, these seem very fitting in this day and age. So we'll get to those in a few minutes. Here's some of the nuts and bolts for next Tuesday. If you want to go see President Obama's farewell address at McCormick Place at the Convention Center, it's going to be they're going to be distributing tickets on Saturday, January 7th. So the speech is on Tuesday. They're giving out tickets on the 7th. Tickets are free. Only one ticket per person is available on a first-come, first-served basis. How quickly do you think these are going to get scalped, like the other free tickets that, you know, that we have a big event and it's free, and then people get those tickets and try to sell them? Because, I'll be honest, I would love to be there for this. I think it's historic.
Much money would you pay a scalper?
See,
for
nothing.
A free ticket?
I'm not going to pay a scalper anything for a free ticket because I know we'll be able to listen to it right here on WGN Radio. I guarantee we'll be streaming it live, as will every other media outlet in the nation, and some probably in the world. So I will not pay a scalper to be there. Nothing. And if you are planning on scalping these tickets, shame on you. And if you pay for them, shame on you too, because then you're just encouraging this. Coming from a guy who uses StubHub on a regular basis. But that's neither here nor there. Doors for the speech are scheduled to open at 5 o'clock next Tuesday. Attendees are encouraged to arrive at or before that time. Those arriving late may not be permitted to attend. There's going to be airport-like security. Really? Shocking that there would be. I would hope there's more than airport-like security getting in there. I want some super duper security, if that's even a law enforcement term. I don't think it is, but I want extra security. But there'll be airport like security, so take your shoes off or whatever. Bring as few personal items as possible. Bags, sharp objects, umbrellas, liquids, and signs will not be allowed in the venue. The president, again, in the email, I quoted some of it earlier, he said, quote, I'm thinking about my remarks as a chance to say thank you for this amazing journey, to celebrate the ways you've changed this country for better these past 8 years, and to offer some thought on where we will all go from here. Since 2009, we faced our fair share of challenges and come through them stronger. That's because we have never let go of a belief that has guided us ever since our founding, our conviction that together we can change this country for the better. So that's kind of what you can expect. We all seem to think we know what the president will say, but I'm wondering what you would like to hear the president address as he comes to town to say goodbye to the country. 312-981-7200. Mike's been hanging on. Hi, Mike. You're on WGN.
Well, good New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
I would like to say that the first thing he's going to address is how the White Sox are trying to compete with the Cubs.
It's no competition.
No competition at all. But I think the major thing is the murder rate in the city of Chicago. And across this Illinois is a state. Rockford is high this year compared to 93, mm-hmm. I think, as far as murder rates and domestic violence in the city.
Yeah, I'm hoping there is some reference to the city. I mean, he is coming here to address the nation, but he is in his adopted hometown, so I hope there is some talk about what's going on here, especially in light of the president-elect's tweet today and everything else that's going on in the national spotlight that's shining on this city. I think it would behoove him to say something in the speech. I don't think he'll focus a lot of time on it. Mike, thanks very much. Happy New Year. But I do think the president needs to say something about this because, you know, how can you not at this point? The entire country is focused on this. Yes, Sam?
I need him in a tan suit again. Remember when he wore the tan suit and everybody was
January.
So upset?
I think for the winter, he doesn't go with the tan suit. That's too light. But I do remember that. Aren't presidents supposed to wear black or navy blue?
Black or navy blue, that's it.
No, you got to jazz it up. I got no problem. When he wore a tan suit.
He looked good in a tan suit.
Well, he's always dressed nice. He's fine. He's gonna be all right. But I like the tan suit. But again, because of the winter season, he's going to go dark. Maybe a charcoal gray. That would be nice. Charcoal gray, dress it up a little bit, change it up. Maybe he just comes out in like a polo and a sweater. Let's forget it. This is it.
I like that we're talking about guys' wardrobes.
Sure, Violetta. Do you have any thoughts on what the president should wear? Not what he would say. His message is secondary. Frankly, he's done.
Typically, this is what we talk about with women, so I like hearing you guys talking about it with the guys.
I like a guy in a finely tailored suit. I'm not going to lie. A guy's got to look sharp. And if you're the president, you've got to look presidential.
You mean your tie shouldn't be touching your knees?
No, that's a bad move. Anybody from, let's be honest, if you're a man and a gentleman of any nature, you know your tie breaks at your belt buckle. That's it. Should go no farther than your belt buckle. Now, when I was giant-sized, I would try, my ties would be, I would wear them a little longer so that they'd clear my belly. But once I became a man of, you know, semi-normal physique.
Svelte?
No, I'm nowhere near svelte. But you know the rules. You don't, it just makes you look dopey.
Shorter tie is worse than longer tie, though. When you have a tie that goes down to like your fifth button on your shirt,
that's
a clown.
No, that's ridiculous too. If you don't, if you can't wear a tie correctly, you shouldn't wear a tie.
Or wear a bow tie. Figure it out.
I go bow tie. That's my go-to look now.
I'm sorry to derail your conversation about
that's all right. No, listen, I know we were talking about the speech, and now it's all about what will the president wear? Who are you wearing? That would be my, as I stand there, and then I get tossed out by Secret Service for heckling the president because I wanted to know if he was still wearing, it's a local company that he always wore. Why am I drawing a blank on the...
Obama's suits?
Yeah, Obama's suits. Always had them made here. Looked dapper.
Maybe it's from the Trump collection.
No.
Hart Scheffner Marks,
that's it. Nobody's carrying the Trump collection anymore. Macy's stopped carrying it. I actually got rid of a couple shirts that I had from the Trump collection. But that's just me. From the 630, I would like him to say in 2008, about half the country voted for real change. Now half the country is begging for spare change. All right, so a non-President Obama supporter, and that's fine. Everybody's got their thing. But I think it's important for a country that is so divided after this election to have the outgoing president kind of smooth the waters a little bit and say, listen, it's going to be okay. Just relax. Here's what I believe I did for this country over the last 8 years. A new guy is coming in 10 days. It's important for us to put aside the bipartisan fighting, which, please, it's not going to happen. It didn't happen for the last 8 years. It's not going to happen for the next 4 or 8 years. It's a pipe dream. And that goes back, all the way back. You didn't think I'd bring it back around. And yet I do. Comes back to something George Washington said in 1796. He was talking about the two parties and how two parties may or may not be good for the country. The parties, he said, serves always to distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administration. It agitates the communities with ill-founded jealousies and false alarms, kindles the animosity of one part against the other, foments occasionally riot and insurrection. It opens the door to foreign influence and corruption, which finds a facilitated access to the government itself through the channels of party passions. Thus, the policy and the will of one country are subjected to the policy and will of another. Does that sound familiar to anyone?
Wow. That was when
that
was
that? 1796.
He is
George
a smart
Washington,
guy.
George Washington and Alexander Hamilton wrote this, saying, listen, if we stay this divided, these are the things that could happen. There is an option that parties in free countries, or an opinion rather, that parties in free countries are useful checks upon the administration of the government and serve to keep alive the spirit of liberty. This, within certain limits, is probably true. But in those of the popular character, in governments purely elective, it is a spirit not to be encouraged. So the first president of these United States was saying, listen, if we divide up into parties, and he was talking about the North and the South back then, and slavery and tobacco, all the things that were dividing the country then after the Revolution when we first became a nation, but how true this all is now that we're, you know, facing a new president and all the rhetoric that came through this election cycle, to hear this and read it and say, man, especially the line, please, it opens a door to foreign influence and corruption.
I know what Obama has to say now at his farewell. He has to give in a heartfelt apology to George Washington for all of us, for everyone out there.
Yeah, we're sorry.
We're sorry.
We didn't listen. Listen, this is like 10 pages long. Nobody's going to read this. I had to go to a Yale University website. My brain just hurt opening that page. I was like, oh, no, this is going to be flowery. But it's true.
How long was the address?
It's 9 pages here. So George, listen, what else did they have to do? They didn't have to go home and watch Netflix. They were going to listen to their president speak.
Just a fun fact, George Washington and I actually share the same birthday.
Get out.
Yeah, me and the first president.
So do we take your birthday off or his? Or do you always say, oh, yeah, we get a holiday for my birthday, too?
My birthday is a national holiday, basically.
Well, that's very nice. Congratulations. Now, is it his actual birthday or President's Day?
No, it's his actual birthday.
His actual birthday.
February 22nd. Yeah, that's his birthday.
Good for you, Violetta. We'll get you a powdered wig and some wooden teeth this year.
Maybe I can be president one day.
Why not?
Why not? That's
Why
true
not?
Nowadays.
Yeah, you have his, you know, you're young. You get into public office. But I think the tape of you talking about how hammered you were on New Year's Eve and that you're still hungover 2 days later, I was going to say back in the day that probably would have been a problem. That's probably going to get you extra votes.
And by the way, she doesn't need any experience at all. That's also a mistake.
No,
don't get
fantastic.
Any of that.
Yeah, don't worry about it. I'd run in 4 years. Yeah. Violetta.
She's a businesswoman too, right?
Right.
You own
right?
a business.
Yeah, and I'll sell it all. I'll just become president. I don't even care.
You're not going to leave it in a...
I don't have
trust?
Anyone to leave it to.
No blind trust?
No.
All right. You sure? Well, just say you're putting it in a blind trust. That's all that matters.
Okay.
It's all about
it's
the
there.
Verbiage. Yeah, it's all in the blind trust. All right, let's do this. Then we can talk a little bit more about this. If you want to weigh in on what you think the president should say when he comes to town, we will get to you. 312-981-7200. It's Brian Noonan in for Rowan Anna. Can I do one more quote from George Washington's address, his farewell address in 1796? As he spoke to the country when he decided not to run for president, despite the fact that he probably could have been, they wanted to kind of make him king. They wanted him to be president for life, and he was smart enough to know that that's not how it was going to work, that the country needed to be able to transition from one leader to the next. And there was something about this, and listen, I'm very nervous about our president-elect. I don't have the utmost confidence. He will be our president, and I'll be watching. I'm not one of these, he's not my president. Well, he's my president. I live in America. I'm a taxpayer. I'm a citizen. I'm also vigilant. And I think based on his New Year's tweet, our president-elect could learn one thing. It's a little bit of humility. And so maybe as he goes back and gets into the job and settles in, maybe this quote will help him a little bit. This was George Washington as he's leaving. Though in reviewing the incidents of my administration, I am unconscious of intentional error. I am nevertheless too sensible of my defects not to think it probable that I may have committed many errors. Whatever they may be, I fervently beseech the Almighty to avert or mitigate the evils to which they may tend. I shall also carry with me the hope that my country will never cease to view them with indulgence, and that after 45 years of my life dedicated to its service with an upright zeal, the faults of incompetent abilities will be consigned to oblivion, as myself must soon be to the mansions of rest. So there's the outgoing president at that time who led the army to defeat the British and start this country, saying, listen, he could have walked out and goes, man, you're never going to find somebody like me. I gave birth to this country.
At the end of that speech, though, I also feel like he should have been king. When by the end of that, I was like, okay.
This guy knows what he's talking about. This guy's pretty cool. He's got his stuff together. But he also went, you know what, I did my best, but I'm smart enough to know that I probably screwed up a bunch. And I hope that in retrospect, you guys will cut me some slack and realize that in the balance, I did my best and I did more good than I did harm. And I think we'll see that Tuesday from President Obama. And I hope when President-elect Trump is done with office, or even now, he starts to believe that too. That yes, he's going to hopefully do some good things. He will probably make mistakes because he's human and all humans make mistakes. But I hope he's smart enough to realize that there's a difference and that you have to be accountable for that. Especially in this job, you are now accountable to all of us. And, you know, it's coming up. And again, I had heard some of this before, but reading through it, it's like, man, this is George Washington. He's a pretty smart guy. And it goes back a long time. So that's that. All right, we got to switch gears. We don't have time. We don't have time to get into this, Sam. I know you'd love this story, but...
Can you tease it at least?
Well, I'll tell you it now because we have some wonderful guests. I will tease the guests who are coming, and we'll do this after. Because, you know, all we're hearing over the last number of days, the last year, is how many people have been murdered in Chicago, how many people have been shot in Chicago, and it is alarming and it is horrifying. 762 homicides in 2016 in this city, and that's inexcusable. But thousands more, over 3,500 shot in this city. And we think about the victims, and we give lip service to their families, and we say, oh, man, we're thinking about the families of the people who were murdered and the families of the people who were shot. But we don't think about what happens to them after a family member is killed. I pray I'm never in that position. I can't imagine what it's like if your family member is a victim of gun violence. And let's call it what it is. It's gang violence. The gangs just happen to have guns, but it's gangs. It's not just regular citizens. So to have your family members killed or shot, what does that do to your psyche? But we don't worry about that. We focus on, as we should, we focus on the people who are perpetrating these crimes. We focus on the police effort to try to stop that crimes. We tweet about government intervention if local politicians can't handle it. But there's people who are left behind, and those people need help, whether it's psychological or counseling, anything, any kind of, they need somebody to talk to. So we've got an organization coming up that is planning to help those people, and we'll meet them on the other side of the news here at WGN. Brian Noonan in for Ro Connan and Anna DeVlantes. Ro and Anna will be back with you again tomorrow after 6 o'clock. Mark Sapelsa is back from vacation, so he will join us, and then Tom Skilling at 6:30. All right, for the last year, we in Chicago have been focused on the amount of shootings. 762 homicides. You've heard the numbers. Over 3,500 people shot. There could be more, as some of the people who were shot at the end of the year, they could die in the next couple weeks, so the number could increase. It's a horrible number, and we're trying to focus on what the police should do and how we can curb this violence, how we can get away from gangs, how we can get the guns under control, all of that. What we don't always think about are the people that are left behind in the wake of these shootings, whether they're children or adults. It's mothers, fathers, brothers, sisters. There are people who are left behind, and we don't think about how this violence affects them. Or if we do, it's very brief, and we pay the lip service of, oh, thoughts and prayers go out to their families. And then we see a march like we did on New Year's, and people carrying crosses of family members who were murdered, and that strikes home. But we have to pay attention more than that. Allies of Innocence is an initiative that was launched right before the holidays by corporate and community leaders. And two of the founders are here with me. Faye Ferguson and Bernie Dime are in the studio. Thank you very much for coming in. Happy New Year to both of you.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you, too.
So who would like to tell me, Faye, why don't we start with you? How did this idea come to pass? Where did Allies of Innocence come from?
Sure. So actually, I was serving on jury duty.
Okay.
Gave me time to think. Right. And at the time, of course, there was unfortunately a lot of violence going on in the city. And rather than sit back and, as you said, just talk about it, I wanted to do something tangible. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought about the survivors mm-hmm. of the victims of gun violence. And the fact that these folks come from poor families. They don't have the resources. They don't have insurance. And they get left behind.
Right.
So I thought about providing free of charge grief and trauma counseling to these individuals. Now, my company, which is Burrell Communications Group, is a communications company. So we do advertising. So
right.
I know we could get out the word about this important initiative, but we were not the appropriate vehicle to provide the grief counseling. And that's when I reached out to Bernie Dime of Perspectives.
And Bernie, how does Perspectives tie in with this?
So we're a behavioral health organization, and we provide all kinds of organizations with counseling services and other services. We also provide individuals with behavioral health care. So we're a Chicago-based organization providing services throughout the country. And my connection with Burrell, who's been a tremendous partner in this whole thing, they really got us involved, and we're delighted and proud of it, is that we provide those employee assistance program services for her company.
And you have other partners as well.
Absolutely. Winston and Strawn came on immediately when I reached out to them as well. And they're a Chicago-based global law firm. And we wanted to make sure that we went about this in the right way. Mm-hmm. So it was a natural partnership for us. But then we also wanted that community connection.
Right.
And that's when we reached out to Father Flager, who, of course, is a Chicago icon.
Sure.
And Father Flager introduced us to Pam Bosley. And Pam Bosley is one of the individuals who started Purpose Over Pain. And that's an organization that's community-based, it's grassroots, and it reaches out to families who have lost a child or anyone in their family to gun violence.
And as you're talking to these people, you know, as you mentioned, these families don't have money for counseling. They don't have, and a lot of times, even if they had some money, they don't really have access to these services. Are they open to that? Are they looking for these kind of services? Or is it one of those things where in certain communities and certain people of a certain, they don't want, therapies for if you're weak. And sometimes people just are resistant, but this is something they need, right?
They absolutely need it. And yes, that is a barrier. So that's why we thought it was so very important to go through a community organization mm-hmm. such as Pam Bosley. And I think, Bernie, you can speak to that as well. But that is a hurdle that we know we have to overcome.
Yeah. Our role in this program, working with Burrell and Winston Strawn and Purpose Over Pain and St. Sabina, is to really provide an organization, an outlet for folks to be able to contact us. You mentioned the barriers mm-hmm. to it. I think in that community, it's even greater, those barriers.
Right.
Those are not people who reach out. Plus, as you said earlier, they don't have the same kinds of resources. They don't have health insurance. They don't have the kinds of resources that encourage.
Well, they may not have even know that grief counseling is a thing.
Exactly.
I mean, a lot. It doesn't matter what neighborhood you're in. There's people who are like, grief counseling? I've never heard of that.
That's mm-hmm. exactly true. And, Father Flager has mentioned it on numerous occasions as well. So what happens in response to this is there's a shooting, there's a death. A counselor is called into a school to speak with those
right.
folks, and then they're gone.
Mm-hmm.
They're gone, and everybody's supposed to be better. As we know, in terms of work with people who are struck with grief, with families that struggle with grief, it takes a while sometimes for people to sort of process it themselves
right.
and be ready to even ask for help. And then with the barriers you spoke of, it got a little more difficult. So our job is to try and help break down those barriers and give people as much access to us as possible, and then provide them with folks out there who are within their communities. That's the other way that we can break down those barriers, is people who live in those communities.
What's the dangers if people, children or even adults who've witnessed a member of their family be a victim to this, if they don't get some sort of counseling, if they don't get some sort of help?
Well, there's all kinds of research on that, and I'm not going to go into the research, but I will say this, that the more you cover it up and the longer you hold on to it, the more likely you are to have greater problems in mm-hmm. the future. So I think what we're trying to do is get to people right at as close to the point of the tragedy as possible and give them those resources so they don't bury it and have it come out in other ways that they're not even aware of.
So go ahead, Faye.
Yeah, and I was going to say, when we talk with Pam Bosley in particular, and of course she had a child die on the church steps to gun violence, and she talked about her own personal experience of how she tried to commit suicide because she couldn't deal with this grief. And that's why grief and trauma counseling is so important.
Well, and we hear about men and women who've been in war or in an attack and the PTSD and all of those sorts of mental health issues that need to be addressed. And we forget that in some ways, and I'm not diminishing men and women in the armed forces, but in some ways, it's the same thing. If you lost a loved one to gun violence, it doesn't matter if they were shot in a desert or it doesn't matter if they were shot in your neighborhood. It's still the same thing. So is it just that we as a society have glossed over that? Have we been callous about it, or it just never popped up that we should be thinking, well, we need to reach out to people who have been in this situation?
Well, it's definitely one of the areas that I recognize as being something that was needed and why we started Allies of Innocence. And we're hopeful that we can really start a movement here to get the funds that we need to be able to provide free of charge this grief and trauma counseling. But yeah, you hear about, oh, let's get the guns off the streets, let's do this and that. But what about the survivors? How do we help them? And so I saw that as a need that needed to be fulfilled.
Well, we'll get into the nuts and bolts of how people can help and what, you know, this costs money. These programs kind of cost money. You're off to a good start. We'll talk about short-term goals, long-term goals, and where we hope to go with this. Allies of Innocence is the initiative. You can find them on Facebook. You can find them. Is there a website, or is it just through Facebook at this point?
The most direct route is facebook.com/Allies of Innocence.
Okay, so go check that out. Faye Ferguson and Bernie Dime are my guests. We'll talk more about this and how you can get involved. And if you have any questions, 312-981-7200. More after we go upstairs to check on the traffic hotspots. With all the talk about gun violence in Chicago, gang violence, the murder rate higher than L.A. and New York combined, we sometimes forget about the other victims of the shootings. It's the people that are left behind, whether it's children, adults, family members of these victims, and how they are coping with this. Well, a group of corporate and community leaders has gotten together and begun a new initiative, Allies of Innocence. Faye Ferguson and Bernie Dime are with me. They are two of the founders. Faye, everybody's giving you the kudos. This was your baby, your idea, and it seems like a wonderful idea. And one, when you look at it now, do you go, why didn't somebody think of this before? Because it makes perfect sense to try to get grief and trauma counseling for victims who are left behind.
And, you know, there may be other organizations out there. I don't know. But then that's why communications is so important. Mm-hmm. And because my company is a communications company, I thought that that was one of our really special ways that we could get the word out, whether it's social media or PSAs or going through some of our media vendors. We really need to get the word out because we need to raise the funds so that we can help these survivors.
And that's where we're looking at now. So again, to reiterate, we're raising funds to get the counseling for these people, but it's not, as Bernie said earlier, it's not a one-shot deal. It's not like, okay, your children, God forbid, were shot. Your father was shot, whatever. Come down to the church. We've got somebody there for 2 hours, and then you never talk to them again. Because anybody who's gone through counseling knows this is an ongoing process. Some people can talk out their issues and feel better in a couple months. Some people, it takes a much longer time. So the goal here for Allies of Innocence is for this to be a long-term process, correct, Bernie?
Yeah, and let me sort of tell you how this is going to work, just in an overview. The role that we play is to provide a group of professionals, their counselors within the community that we've vetted and recruited, and that we've worked with, who have expertise in grief counseling in the communities in which these events have occurred. And we are setting up a dedicated 800 number that's confidential, so people can call in either themselves or through pastors or community service members, so that these people can get to us. My company is going to handle the initial assessment, and then we're going to do a handoff to a counselor that we vetted that matches the person's needs or the family's needs. And that counselor is going to be responsible for providing actual crisis intervention, short-term counseling support, and finding and coordinating any longer-term care necessary.
Perfect.
That's when we'll also be working with Purpose Over Pain and Pam and her husband's group around providing some of those other ancillary services as well.
All right. It all sounds good. It all costs money. So short-term goal, I know you had a $50,000 short-term goal to just get things started. Mm-hmm. Your last report, you were in the, according to the Sun-Times, you were almost there. You were at $32,000. What's then the long-term financial goal? What's it going to cost to set this up so that it's running at least for the first year or to get things really rolling?
So let me say that our goal is probably to hit somewhere in the $200,000 to $300,000 range. But I just want to be clear that what we don't want to have happen is we don't want to be running out of money and not being able to provide
right.
services. So our goal is to get that money as soon as possible. As soon as we hit that $50,000, we can begin to provide right. those services. But we really do need support. I think we've talked about this. Our goal would be to have more emphasis shifted onto these kinds of services mm-hmm. than onto what's going on out there in terms of stopping the violence.
Right.
Not that that isn't important, but these people are suffering right now.
Right.
So we need corporate support, we need organizational support, and we need individual support to keep that going.
Now, Faye, you said you're the CEO of Burrell Communications. So you know these other companies. Companies love to get involved in good causes. Has it been, as you've approached people, have other companies, you said Winston Strom jumped in right away. Are other companies accepting this? Are hesitant? What's the hurdle to getting more corporate help for this?
I think initially it's been timing because, okay. as you know, we started
right around the holidays.
Around the holidays, end of the year,
yeah.
funds were already capped.
Yes.
So that's why we're hopeful that now that it's the new year, 2017, that corporations will indeed, we're going to reach out to them again and that we can really get started because we want to get started as soon as possible in January.
Well, and both of you and both of your companies, Burrell Communications and Perspectives, you guys are already involved in a lot of good charitable works around the city anyway. So this isn't people would do their vetting of you guys and of Allies of Innocence and say, all right, these are people who are involved. These aren't Johnny come latelys. These are, you know, citizens who really care about what's going on, whether it's Ronald McDonald House or other things that you guys are involved in. So hopefully it will be an easier sell for you when you approach companies and individuals, right?
Yes, that is exactly right. And again, I'm hoping that it was just the timing of it,
yeah.
you know, in terms of the holidays. But it's a new year, a new day, but the need is great. And we will be reaching out. And those companies that might be listening to this broadcast, they can reach me at Burrell Communications Group. I pick up my phone.
There you go. And if somebody says, well, I'm not a corporation, but this sounds good to me, what's the best way for them to help the cause?
Donations at Facebook.com/Allies of Innocence. They can donate direct from Facebook.
And explain, because the donations go through a 501c3, but it's got a different name.
It's called Resilience Partners, and
yes.
what they are is they're actually holding the money for us
okay.
that we will then disperse to provide these services.
Perfect. Well, hopefully, as you said, you're on your way to that initial, you're almost to that initial goal to get things rolling. So hopefully we can get that done in the next couple of weeks. People, as you said, people listening now. And if you're an individual, any donation helps. If you try to imagine yourself in the situation of one of these people whose family member or friend was killed or shot, put yourself in that position. If you have $20, if you have a little more, go to Facebook, go to Allies for Innocence. You could just put it in the search at Facebook. It'll take you right to the page. All the information is there, the purpose, everything else. And, you know, good luck, you guys. I think it's a very worthwhile project, and I wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you very much, and thanks for the opportunity.
You're very welcome. All right, let's do this. Then it's news time on WGN. Thanks, Veronica. Brian Noonan in for Ro Khan and Anna DeVlantes. They will be back tomorrow. It seems like they've been gone forever. Only Violetta remains. How come you had to work all these days when the rest of your crew was off gallivanting?
Someone had to represent.
Oh, word. All right, so Violetta has represented, and very well. Represented very
Thank
well,
you.
Even though she's self-described a little bit hanging a little low today. Still.
I'm fine. I'm
You're
very
fine.
Good.
Well, you it's just, I'm just going by what you said.
I'm ready for the world to get back to normal.
It's an odd couple of weeks during the holidays because some people are working. I know my wife was technically off today, but she was working from home. So that defeats the purpose of being off.
She can wear her pajamas.
She can wear her pajamas. And I know when she was actually doing some work last night and having a glass of wine, which they frown on at the office. She's able at home to go, yes, I'm working, but I'm also, you know, I'm at home in my jammies with a glass of wine. And again, they don't. She tried that once at the office. She got called down to HR. That was not. They're like, listen, you realize
classic,
you're at work.
Not letting you drink wine at work.
It's the man with his boot on your neck, Violetta. That's the problem. It's always you. Always got to be a toady to the man, and the man is not fun.
What's a toady?
A toady is just somebody who does whatever they're told. Yes. Oh, whatever you need, boss.
I know a couple of those people.
A lot of toadies running around. Not here.
Do you guys need anything?
I don't. You are not our toady, Violetta. You are an independent, strong traffic reporter who knows where the trouble spots are, and that was for Leo. All right, Batman is up to no good. Batman, and I can't believe it. I can't believe Batman has sunk so low during the holidays that he has to try to rob a convenience store. Oh, wait, it wasn't Batman. It was a Batman Batgirl imposter. Coming out of Florida, because all these stupid news stories come out of Florida, as we are wont to know. Two women who Ormond Beach police say are suspected of committing a string of armed robberies while dressed as Batman were finally arrested on Sunday. Ha ha. That is the tinniest version of Batman I have ever heard. Police said Watika Thomason, 33, and Cassandra Rafa, 31, were found asleep in their black Honda Civic, which is now doubling as a Batmobile. And where were they parked? I'll give you one guess. Each of you get one guess as to where the fake Batman who had been robbing convenience stores would have parked their black Honda Civic. What kind of parking lot? Sam?
Elementary school.
No. Craig?
Movie theater.
No. Violetta?
At the convenience store?
Oh, that would have been good, but no. Of course it was Walmart.
Oh.
That's where you park your car to take
Walmart's
a nap is Walmart.
Well,
yes, Florida Walmart. I pretty much handed it to you on a plate. Yes, Walmarts in Florida are where you go to take a nap.
I would have thought it would have been in Florida. It would have been Publix.
Yeah, but that's a grocery store, and I don't know if they allow you to sleep in their parking lot overnight. Walmart does. You can pull your camper right into Walmart and just sleep there. If you're Batman or one of a supervillain or any other hero, you can park your car there. Surveillance video from the robbery at the Kangaroo Express. That's the name of the convenience store down there. Or a really hands-on petting zoo. You just wander in, grab yourself a kangaroo, and head out.
Real quick.
Yeah, just fast. I don't want to spend a lot of time with the kangaroo. I need to touch one, and I need to be on my way. Do you have a marsupial that I can pet in 3 minutes or less? Because if not, I'm going to have to bypass this whole experience. So they go into the Kangaroo Express, showed a person with a knife dressed in a Batman mask and a Batman shirt, demanded cash. I would have thought they used a utility belt and had a knife that was a weapon that was a little more elaborate. Perhaps a batarang or some sort of bat stun gun. But no, just a wife. Clerk said the robber was a man, but police now believe the robber was a woman. A Steak and Shake restaurant employee said he was robbed last month by a person with a knife and wearing a Batman mask when he went to his car during his break. So Florida brings out the worst in everybody. I think it's the humidity, the palmetto bugs, and the fact that you're surrounded by people who left everywhere else.
It's
like a penal colony down there, and I don't mean that in the shape.
The bath salts are finally gone, though, right? Remember when Florida had that stretch where everybody was huffing bath salts?
Oh, yeah. Everybody's getting all bath salted up, and then they're eating each other's faces, and people are turning into zombies and killing each other on the roads. It was horrible. It's horrible down
Walmart's
there.
Walmart's bring out the worst in people, too.
I think so. Now, see,
Walmart.
That. I go to Walmart all the time.
I love Walmart.
My wife will not go to Walmart. She'll send me to Walmart. Without a moment's hesitation.
Really great deals, but
yes.
The company there is not very enjoyable.
Depends on the Walmart you go to, but I will agree to a certain extent. My wife draws the line. She has no problem with Target. She loves Target. Loves it. Target, to me, got a little too highfalutin for my taste. Still go there. But
there is no peopleoftarget.com. There is, in fact, a peopleofwalmart.com.
See, but Walmart for a long time was not in the northern states. Walmart for a long time was a southern thing. And I remember the first time I went to Walmart, I was on the road somewhere and it was like, oh man, this place is pretty wild. They have everything. They did. If there's a thing you're looking for, whether it's one of those metal flagpole holders, yeah, you find it at Walmart. What do you need? A weird can opener? I was looking for a muddler the other day because I was start making old fashions at home. Because why not? And I'm like, oh, I bet Walmart will have a nice muddler. And they did, in fact, have one at a low, low price. I don't know where it was made. I don't know if children were involved in the labor, but quite frankly, that's not my concern. I don't work for the FTC. I'm not a government official. I'm a guy who needs a cheap muddler. And when I need anything cheap, I go to Walmart. That's where I go. Some places, and Walmart will carry things that other places don't have. You know, and I know before people start texting in and calling, I know there's a lot of people who are upset with Walmart, how they pay their employees and all of that, and I understand. But sometimes, as an American, I'm selfish because that's what Americans do.
I want a good deal.
Exactly, right? And we don't always think about the people involved. Now, I say hello to the greeter when I go in, but that's about as far as I go into Walmart's
politics. I keep my head down and I look for the sales.
Right. Where's my muddler?
Where's the heartburn medication that's 50% off?
Exactly. Where can I get the no-name ibuprofen? Where can I get,
Benadryl.
Benadryl. Well, where can I get, please, Benadryl, I have to sign over my firstborn. I got to run a background check.
Not at Walmart.
Even at Walmart. Even Walmart, they don't mess around with that. They got to check your teeth to see if you're making meth. They're looking in your eyes. They're checking for tats and needle marks.
Oh, was that the last ingredient I needed?
Yeah,
Benadryl.
That was a Benadryl. Wow, Violetta putting herself in compromising positions today, talking about being a little slow. Now she's making meth up there in Traffic Central.
I was missing the main ingredient. So
is that why
I'm not getting very far here?
Is that why there's so much fog and you're wearing a hazmat suit today? Because you're whipping up a batch before everybody comes back?
I love Breaking Bad.
Sure. Well, of course you do.
She does kind of have the perfect cubicle to create meth, I think. She's got a nice little
office. Is that right?
Yeah, look at her.
Yeah.
Up there in the Traffic Central.
Well, no one comes over here.
Yeah, nobody does come up there, and that when that door seals, your noxious fumes are not going to escape. So that's probably good. All right, so there you go. That's what's happening in Florida again. Batman is robbing convenience stores. I like Kangaroo Express as a name. My favorite name for convenience stores, if you are a denizen of Iowa, you will know the Come and Go.
Oh, yeah.
The Come and Go.
I've been to Come and Go.
It's nasal decongestion you're talking about. Yeah, what's in the nasal decongestion? Well, Benadryl, too, has that, whatever the Sudafed has it, all that kind of stuff. Whatever the ingredient is. As you can tell, I'm not schooled in my meth making. I just buy mine on the street like everybody else. Making it's a hassle. I'll pick mine up in the back alleys like everybody else.
It's all about convenience.
It is. See, that's the thing, Violetta. My neighborhood's a little sketchy. I can just walk out to take out the garbage, pick up a little meth. I don't need to be whipping things up, have all sorts of chemicals delivered to the house, risk the house blowing up. I just wander out to the alley, talk to one of the guys out there, pick up whatever I need. You know, hot dogs, meth.
Just to be safe here, I went ahead and Googled how do you make meth, and I have a How Stuff Works page that I can share with everybody. But
oh,
yeah,
that's nice.
Well,
just
good
the
thing
Benadryl.
That's, good thing that's on your work
My
computer.
My history now?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, the show.
You should clear that.
Okay.
You brought up Come and Go. There are several in Iowa City. Have you been to Git and Go?
I have not been to Git and Go.
GIT_N_Go. Git and Go.
Yeah, I've been to the KUMN_N_Go. That's, no, I haven't, are the, bleh, is that another chain?
I believe it is. It's in the Quad Cities. Git and Go.
Pseudoheferin, that's what we're looking for. Thank you. The texters are all about the meth labs when they're not saying that I'm a horrible person. So that's, why? Because I don't care about the wage at Walmart? All right, listen, again, I understand. People are working. People need jobs. Could companies treat people better? Yeah. Does it matter to a lot of people when it comes down to if I can save $2 on my detergent? I could make a big stance. I could be Norma Ray. I could do all that. Or I could just look at my personal bank account and be selfish. And sometimes I am selfish. A lot of times I care about the public. A lot of times I care about me and my family. Welcome to America. It would be nice if I could say, I only work in altruistic ways all the time. That would be lovely. Then you know what you'd be calling me? St. Francis. That's what you'd be calling me. Now you call me a terrible person. You call me whatever you want. I call me a smart consumer. All right? There you go. And if that's too much, Happy New Year. Welcome to 2017. All right, we'll talk about some favorite neon signs. That's not terrible. That's fun. Who doesn't love neon? We'll also talk about a man who celebrated his divorce in a very fun way. Got a lot to get to before 6 o'clock. We'll do it all after Violetta gives us a traffic trouble spot. Brian Noonan. Oh, man, I can't even say my name. It's been a long holiday season. Too much nog. That's the problem. Brian Noonan in for Rokon and Anna DeVellante, who will be back tomorrow after their well-deserved holiday break. Sam Panionovich handling sports tonight. Violetta, of course, handling the traffic trouble spots. And Craig Collins is producing. And Craig gave me this story from DNA Info Chicago, which spurred a wonderful memory of my childhood. It's about the favorite neon signs in Chicago neighborhoods. Now, we'll start with one. This one, and I initially became familiar with this place because of Nick DiGilio, who I think this was, I think he had a permanent spot there for a long time at Simon's, and they have a beautiful neon sign with a fish holding a cocktail. And I've seen this before. It's wonderful. Superdog, of course, made the list because of their the lovely hot dog couple on top of there. The Rainbow Club in Wicker Park, which I've seen that sign and I've driven by it, and I always wondered if that place was open. You ever been in there, Sam?
I used to live right over there.
It's did you really?
Damon and Division. Just the south of Division. And I, like you, I've walked past it. I don't exactly know what it is, but it's still intriguing.
Yeah, it's a really old school kind of neon sign. You go, this is a place where a couple of fellas can have a drink and maybe meet a couple of dames. That's the kind of vibe it gives off, like old school. You're going to go in there, you're going to have a hard drink for a serious man, and then maybe you meet a classy dame in there.
The best neon sign is Green Mill. You've been to Green Mill before?
That's the next one.
Oh,
that's
it's on
the next
Broadway.
One on the list.
It's
yeah.
on Broadway. Yep. It's old school speakeasy. Have you been there?
I have not.
You've got to go there.
It is right, the second best neon sign in Chicago, because the one after the Green Mill is the best one in Chicago.
The Music Box Theater?
Yeah.
That's the one you like the
neon
best?
Sign.
It is a great neon sign.
Right?
I used to, and I was telling Craig, that my memory of the greatest neon, or, and I don't know if it was neon or if it was just lit, but I was a child, and I may have been lit too. Again, like Don Lemon on CNN, in his own words. My grandma and grandpa lived at 76th and Lowe. So we would get off the Dan Ryan at 76th Street when we were coming in, and there was a Sinclair station there, gas station. And it used to have, it was right by the big Magic Kiss sign. So anybody who remembers the giant Magic Kiss sign as you came in on the Ryan, the Sinclair dinosaur was right there, like the next exit. And it was the greatest, as a little kid, to be driving up at night and see this huge dinosaur, and the tail would go up and down, and I believe the dinosaur would wave to you. And that this coming right after the huge Magic Kiss lips that would, you know, all the lights would, they'd light up and then they'd go back down. It was great. So those were the ones I remember. Some of these, of course, Wrigley Field is on there, you know, one of the best. The Skyway sign. Really? One of the best neons is the Skyway?
I like the Skyway sign.
All right. Violetta voted.
Take it easy on us Skyway people, all
are
right?
We surprised?
I'm not blasting the Skyway. I'm just saying I don't know if the sign measures up to the rest of these.
It just makes you feel like home if you're driving into the city, if you're you know,
okay.
coming from... It's a nice...
No, that makes sense because you're coming in from far-flung lands like Kentucky, and all of a sudden
or
you're...
Or Cleveland.
Yeah, sure. It could be anywhere.
Or you grew up there like I did, so take
on
it
the,
easy
on the
Skyway. Yeah, I was actually born on the Skyway.
You grew up under the Skyway?
I was born in the McDonald's parking lot.
Oh, is that rather. Right? Right in the middle?
That's, have you been to that McDonald's?
I've never been. I always wanted to stop.
Well, why would
closed.
You not stop?
You can't go anymore because it's now defunct.
Defunct? Wow.
It's gone.
Well, that's a shame. I haven't been on the Skyway in a while. I used to love it because you drive over the Skyway and you look down at what used to be a thriving steel industry. You go, man, what happened to all that?
Overseas.
Yeah. I like to look at the old paintings and make out if you can still make things out on the buildings. So that's on there. Rothschild Liquors, which is in Noble Square. That made this list. What else? Oh, I spent a lot of time at this joint on Western Avenue, Jameson's Drive-In in Beverly. You ever go there?
No, Jansen's.
Jansen's. Yeah. Jansen's. Why am I I'm reading it wrong? Jansen's. But yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
That's on like 99th and Western. Yeah, that's a Southside haunt. That's for sure. Good milkshakes there. Burgers and shakes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And anybody who grew up in Beverly or Mount Greenwood, any of that, Jansen's was the place. Because I went to high school with a bunch of guys who went to Christ the King and St. Barnabas. And it was always, whenever, as we went to, you know, got old enough to drive, it was always go to Jansen's.
There's a place, another place in Wrigley, just north of the ballpark. Another one of those places where they have a neon sign of a fish holding a drink.
Yeah.
I think that's hilarious. I think it's called Raw
do.
Bar.
Well,
Raw Bar. It's on Clark. But again, fish, drink, awesome.
Yeah, because, well, you drink like a fish. That's the old saying. So now you drink like a fish. Logan Theater in Logan Square is on this. I've got to go to North. Where is North Center? Violetta,
Center?
You're a traffic person. Where's North Center's neighbor? Where's that neighborhood?
Like, is that a neighborhood?
That's what it says.
That's Fullerton and Damon.
Is that right? Orange Garden Chop Suey and Chow Mein. This is an old school Chinese food sign.
Yeah, that's on Irving, isn't it?
It just says in North Center.
I thought that was near Irving, Old Irving Park, but...
That,
I
you know what?
Pass
that
it.
Sounds right.
Yeah.
That sounds right near Old Irving Park or up near the Portage Park area. That
yeah.
North Center. Again, the names of these neighborhoods change so quickly. And it's like, oh, you're Irving Park adjacent. You're Lakeview East, North, West, South.
You would just say like the two major intersections.
Exactly.
That's your neighborhood.
Or I love when people, I love, and it's a uniquely Chicago thing. I have it at 1600 North. And then, you know, whatever 100 West or East. I love that about this town. Candlelight Chicago and West Rogers Park is on there. Central Camera in the Loop, which I've been to. That is also a very cool sign. The Millshire Hotel in Logan Square. I don't know. Beverly Woods. You ever been to the Beverly Woods?
Oh, yeah.
We used to go there on Sunday mornings because...
Banquet breakfast?
Well, because my grandfather, he's long gone, but he was in Alcoholics Anonymous. And that's where they used to have their big breakfast on Sunday mornings. So it was always the Beverly Woods. And then the Beverly Woods was also a place where if you grew up, again, in the Beverly, Mount Greenwood kind of area, that was a place to have weddings and funeral lunches and all that kind of stuff. Irving and Damon is the North Central neighborhood. So you were pretty close, Violetta. Irving and Damon.
It does stretch down to Diversey, though. So I'm going to stand by that. Have you been to Margie's Candies? Armitage and Western. That's
ice
another
cream.
Yeah, ice cream and the chocolates. That's a neon sign. It's yellow and red, I want to say.
That one could get cleaned up a little bit, though.
It's old, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Well, that's the charm of it. There's a place in my neighborhood, a Chinese place, and you know a Chinese place is good when they're still advertising chop suey. Because chop suey hasn't been a thing. I mean, it's always been a thing, but it hasn't been the big selling point of Chinese restaurants since like the 70s. So somebody recommended this Chinese place, and I knew it would be good because their neon said chop suey. I was like, oh, and I was right. So here's my pro tip. If you're looking for Chinese food and you see a neon sign that says chop suey, roll on in because they've been around a long time. They're not messing around. Eileen wants to jump in real quick. Hi, Eileen. Oh, you know where North Center is. Okay, where's North Center,
Hi.
Eileen? Hi, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. It's Irving, Damon, and Lincoln. That's
Irving, Damon,
up.
And Lincoln. All right. Very good.
Okay.
And how big of a neighborhood is it?
It's a couple miles around the section. It's not real big.
Okay. Very good. Well, thank you for the info, Eileen.
About Orange Garden?
Yes. Yes. Have you been there?
Yeah. I haven't been there because I'm not a big Chinese person, but it's been there a long time. And I hear good things about it. Everyone says it's a really good restaurant.
Well, and now they also have one of the top neons, according to this list.
Right near that sign, there's also the Abraham Lincoln sign, right on Irving over there. It's kind of scary. Yeah.
It sounds like a neighborhood I got to hang out in. Eileen, thank you for the call. Sounds
You're
good.
Welcome.
Thanks.
Bye
bye. Look at that. Oh, the listeners can always jump in with some useful information. Dinkles is on there, the Irving Hotel in Portage Park. And Dinkles is that great bakery up in Lakeview. Oh, man, that's fantastic. All right, let's do this. Then after the news, we will talk to Mark Sapelsa. He's back from vacation and joining us on WGN. For Ro and Anna will be back from their vacation tomorrow. But one man who is back from his vacation today, who we have missed talking to, Mark Sapelsa from Channel 9 is with us. Hi, Mark. Happy New Year.
Mr. Noonan, you too.
I'm guessing from your past experience that Christmas in Montana was wonderful?
It was. Oh, it was terrific. We downhill skied, cross-country skied, ice skated, and did a lot of nothing.
Wow. Well, the lot of nothing sounds good. Did you guys get all the snow? Because were you in the path of those big storms we kept hearing about?
I wouldn't call them big storms, but they were consistent. Yeah. So I would say every other day we'd see sunshine one day, and the next day we'd get maybe a couple inches of snow. And so it made it was challenging on the lake for ice skating, so we had to go elsewhere because even though we had below zero temperatures at times overnight, that insulation of snow on the lake makes it tougher. So we were going to the little city park to do ice skating. And
now, do you clear part of the lake off yourself if you're going to skate on the lake?
Yep. Oh. We go down to the old dock, which is still in the water or still in the ice, so to speak, from the summer. And then we'll shovel off. Everybody grab a shovel, and we make a nice, decent rink, play some hockey.
Nice.
Do some figure skating, you know, whatever the deal is.
Now, how obviously you have to be very careful, so how do you know? I mean, you've been going there a long time, have it, but how do you know?
That is a great question. You never know. So what we basically do is, and I was saying to my wife that we should actually get one of these things that the ice fishermen use, which is a drill bit.
Okay.
Where you can, you know, sort of drill down and measure and see what, you know, how thick the ice is you know, right off your dock. We basically usually gauge it by the ice fishermen across the lake. And this year we saw none.
Oh.
Until about maybe New Year's Eve day, and we saw a couple, and not that many. So, but by that time, the snow was high enough that it would have been a little tough to, like, okay, we got to really get down there and shovel like crazy. But early in the week, we were out there for 2 weeks, and it looked like the ice is great. Ice is great. I took a cross-country ski along the shoreline.
Uh-huh.
You know, in about 250, 300 feet down the shoreline, I ran into a little bit of slush. Now, it wasn't like breakthrough ice slush, but it was like, okay, well, this ice isn't perfect.
Yeah, time to get back on solid ground.
Exactly.
Because every winter we hear horrible stories of people who are trying to go out on the ice, and it's...
My wife is wisely militant about it, saying, unless we see ice fishermen out there, we're not going. And so it felt fine, it looked fine, but we weren't going to take a chance, so we hauled over to the city park.
Well, listen, that's probably safer, and it's that's a good, because they bring it. Do they bring the shacks out and everything onto the ice?
They do.
So you know then if it can support that,
exactly,
it's going to support you guys
shacks,
skating
people,
around.
Sometimes a truck, you know, that type of thing.
Right. That's a sport I will never understand.
Me neither, and I've done it. You know, my wife grew up in central northern Minnesota, and her father was basically a professional fisherman who would take, you know, guides, and he would guide, you know, people that would want to go fishing in the summertime. And he had a ice fishing business, basically, where he would allow you to keep your fishing hut on his property, and then he'd drag them out there for you come wintertime. So one of our first dates, we're out there ice fishing, and I'm like, is this all you do? You just sit here? Yeah, you just sit here. You know, drink a beer inside his little warm, you know, whatever hut, and then...
It's called a shanty.
Shanty, there you go. Sorry.
Is it like Grumpy Old Men? Do they bring their TVs out there and the whole thing?
Yes, some have very luxurious things. I mean, those shanties are not shanties. Put it that way, Pomegranate. I'm telling you, some of them are nice.
My sister's boyfriend goes ice fishing, and he's obsessed with it.
Really?
We always get pictures from the shanty. My sister goes there, but there's a bar nearby, so she just...
Right.
She's like, yeah, I'm going to go inside for like 5 minutes. She never comes back.
You know, and smart. And sometimes we'll be driving by some other lakes that are near the highway on our way to our place, and we'll see guys sitting in a bucket, just a bucket, you know,
that's
open air.
That's crazy.
Right. And if that's their sport, that's their sport.
Yeah, it's, you know what? It's what you grow up with. It's what you're used to. If sitting on a bucket out of frozen lake is your thing, God bless you.
Yeah.
I'm going to be in somewhere warm.
I just don't see this. I mean, God bless them is right, but I don't see the sport of just dropping your line in there and waiting. You know, it's not like you're reeling, not like you're, you know, that type of thing.
You're not chasing some big game fish and just sitting over a hole.
You're not fly fishing, right, exactly.
Just looking at a hole.
Yeah,
waiting. Sam, before we get into some other things, Sam needs to ask you a very important question about the Packers.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, we know you're a green and gold guy. That's not a secret.
I know, I haven't hit it.
Aaron Rodgers told us 6 weeks ago the Packers weren't going to lose again for the rest of the year. They have won the last six games.
Right.
And Rodgers, in his last seven, has thrown 18 touchdowns and no picks.
Yep.
Where do you get a guy with that kind of confidence and ability? Can we find one down here?
How fun has that ride been?
Yeah.
I'll tell you, when they were 4-6 and they got blown out by the Redskins, I was personally calling for, you know, on Twitter, calling for Ted Thompson and Mike McCarthy to make changes, meaning leave. I'll do my short analysis here, not that Bears fans really care, but I do think Aaron Rodgers needs a fire under his you-know-what to kind of – because I think he was a little lax in the beginning of the season, a little bit this, a little bit that. They did make some technical changes. They found a couple of guys that were injured, come back, tight end, and Ty Montgomery, the running back, receiver turn running back. That really did help Rodgers, no question about it. But I think when he's under pressure – is when he's at his best. And I think, frankly, Mike McCarthy probably saw the end of his career in Green Bay flash before his eyes at 4-6. And I think he has been more creative in his play calling. Before this, I'm telling you, there were some legitimate reasons to say, McCarthy, you've run your course. You can't just run, you know, like the old Bears Packers 1968, into the line twice, try and pass punt.
Right.
Into the line. And so that has changed. Now, last thing I'll say, Ted Thompson, who's been a wonderful GM for many years in some regards, you've only been to the Super Bowl once with Aaron Rodgers. A quarterback, the quality of Aaron Rodgers, there's a problem there, and I think I know some of the reasons why, so I think he may be long in the tooth. He should maybe step down, and they should bring in some fresh blood.
Yeah, especially when 8 years in a row you've made the playoffs,
you've
got to, you know, you got to take that next step, and you're absolutely right about Rodgers.
And we've had a couple of debacles, you know, in Seattle a couple of years ago, NFC Championship game, we were there. We were eight – 8 minutes away.
The onside kick.
Exactly, the onside kick. And that wasn't the only thing. Richard Sherman had one arm. He broke his arm during the game. And Mike McCarthy couldn't get his nose out of the playbook to even notice and never threw it to him. Yeah. You know, that's fireable offenses.
But, I didn't mean to get you going. I'm sorry.
Listen, he's fired up. The guy just came back from vacation. Get him all worked up.
No, Sam, a good question. And sorry if I bored the Bears fans out there.
No, that's all right. Listen, we've got to have some football to pay attention to because we're sure not paying attention to Halas Hall.
I feel badly.
Oh, man.
I mean, I'm a Packer fan, but I feel badly because a lot of the players, they come into WGN, you talk to them.
You live here.
Yeah, you live.
Friends
right,
are
exactly.
Bears fans.
Exactly.
I have a lot of friends who are Bears fans. Is that your line? All right, let's switch real quick because while you were gone, and you covered this extensively before you left, some of the final numbers are out for the shootings and the killings over the last year. 762 homicides, which may go up as some of these people were shot toward the end of the year. Hopefully they don't, but they might die.
Yeah.
So today, President-elect Trump tweets that if the mayor can't handle it, that maybe the federal government should step in to stem the tide of violence here. I just picture, the streets, tanks, and the army running down the street. That can't be good for anybody. What do you think of the president-elect's tweet to the mayor today?
Ill-advised.
Well, as are most of the tweets.
Yeah,
but
I really do. I think a lot of his tweets are ill-advised. And again, I know I'm a news guy, and I'm not necessarily supposed to, give opinions on newsmakers, but in this setting, which is kind of like let's debate the issues, kind of like a roundtable, ill-advised.
Right.
The guy tweets sometimes, and he may have a point on some things, but how many times has he tweeted and then an hour later, saw him before the cameras and he says the exact opposite of what his tweet was.
Yes, of course.
The transition not going well, whatever the tweet was, Obama this and Obama that, what's he doing? And then he comes before the cameras 2 hours later and no, everything's great. Transition's going perfectly. Well, which is it? And so that's a problem. So this case in Chicago, he watched a rather simplistic 60 Minutes piece on Chicago's violence problem. And simplistic because the debate in the newsroom was that it's so multi-layered, so like an onion or turnip, that you could peel it back for hours. But that 60 Minutes piece, which is disappointing to me because I think 60 Minutes. Maybe,
yeah, they usually do top-notch journalism.
Yeah. And maybe years ago was really outstanding when Don Hewitt was there. I think something may be suffering at times now because you've got some of the old guard that held that show to a really, really high standard. This was kind of like, okay, put Gary McCarthy on and put the current police chief on, let him go at it. And it was like sparks flying for 14 minutes with really not getting to the crux of it. There are some issues that McCarthy is correct about.
What do you feel about one of his main contentions was that the result-based promotions are gone and that it's all political. And we've heard about these kind of political appointments for a long time and people rising up through the ranks. But then he said something that, and I like Gary McCarthy, but he said that, in the New York Police Department, nobody watches out for you. But we know that everybody's got their quote-unquote rabbi that helps usher them through the department and helps you along. So, you've covered the police department for a long time. It's not all political, is it?
Oh, I'm sure it's very political. I'm sure he has a point about it. But there are a number of different things that he mentioned and maybe didn't mention. During McCarthy's tenure, for example, my investigative producer and I had a number of questions about what was declared a homicide and what was not declared a homicide. So in other words, we happened to be covering Inglewood, my producer and I, one summer night on purpose. We stayed 24 hours, literally overnight. And while we were there, there was a shooting that occurred. So we documented that particular. We hightailed it following the cops. We were literally chasing sirens. We get there. We know exactly what happened. We saw what happened in terms of the aftermath. We talked to witnesses. That was later recorded as an accidental shooting. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, accidental shooting. And a man died. Okay. When we were there at the scene, it was not an accidental shooting.
So how did he justify the categorization?
That's an excellent question. So does that tell you that there are more murders now versus the McCarthy era because McCarthy had the power and the political persuasion to maybe change some of those numbers? I asked that question. And I asked that question back then, never got an answer. Asked that question now, never got an answer. And the Chicago Magazine asked that same question, and McCarthy poo-pooed it. So as soon as McCarthy leaves and the new superintendent doesn't have the political power, so to speak, to maybe – this is just me hypothesizing.
Theorizing, sure.
Yeah, theorizing. Suddenly, there's a skyrocketing of murder numbers or homicide numbers is that part of it. So it's multi. It's an onion. It's multi-layered. So you can't just say. You can say, I think, that police feel like their backs are against the wall.
Yes.
And perhaps, you know, the ACLU with that new edict that you've got to fill out a three-page report
every
on
time
traffic stops.
Yep. Yeah, every time you have contact with somebody, you have to put in all this paperwork.
So there's some legitimate slowdown, and then there was maybe even some blue flu slowdown where, you're going to make me do this? Okay, I'm going to take my time. If I hear something going on the radio, I'm still filling out my three-page report on this traffic stop. Right. I'm not going to go to that shooting. There's probably some legitimate stuff there and understandable on the part of the police officers that you're going to make me do more. Okay, fine. But the ACLU, for example, said we need to have more accountability on those regular traffic stops because that's where a lot of the shootings were occurring that seemed to be unjustified later on. So it's multi-layered, and you can't just say X, Y, and Z on 60 Minutes and then come back and have him and have Trump tweet, you need federal help, you can't handle it.
Yeah,
that's wrong.
Because you can't. What federal help are you going to do? You're going to send troops? That's not going to work.
Right.
You've got to. And then what makes, you know, all right, so you send the troops to Chicago. Where are you sending them next? Detroit, L.A., New York? What's going on?
And wisely so. And, you know, Adam Collins is somebody that we in the media haven't always seen eye to eye with because he's a tough son of a gun, which is why he was transferred over from the police department to the mayor's office. But he said in response to the Trump tweet, sure, we could use the federal help. How about all the money that we'd really like to add to our programs that we're trying to implement here? You know, don't send in
troops. That kind of help, Mark.
Exactly.
We're not going to send that kind of help.
Exactly.
We can't send that kind of money. What are you covering tonight on the news?
Well, we'll cover the year-end numbers that you're talking about here. Also, the brand new numbers. So in 2017, we're 2 days in, and we already have two police-involved shootings. One perhaps has a different, deeper level than was initially thought. Off-duty police officer shoots and kills a man. Turns out there may be some spite between them as neighbors. We'll look into that tonight on the WDGN News at 9 and 10.
Interesting. Well, welcome back. Happy New Year. We're glad to have you back where you belong.
I feel like a motor mouth. You put quarter in me and I'd never stop.
That's it. Well, listen, you've been up in Montana looking at the moose for 2 weeks. You got
to
come
talk
back
to somebody.
Get back in. Get things rolling. Right. We'll talk to you soon, Mark. Thanks.
All right, guys.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Mark Sapelsa. You hear him here with Ro and Anna every night at 6 o'clock. Let's do this because Violetta is getting anxious. She's like, oh, we're in the 6 o'clock hour.
That means shaking.
I only have a couple more reports, but tomorrow from their vacation. So that means, unfortunately, today is the last time for a little while I'll get to say, hey, Tom Skilling. Happy
Brian,
New Year, Tom.
Happy New Year to you.
Did you have a wonderful New Year?
Thank
you. I will miss talking to you as well.
I always do, Brian. I'm telling you, I look forward to every chance we have a chance to interact with one another. I had a wonderful New Year's, nice and quiet.
Yeah? You had mentioned, because I talked to you at the end of last week, and you said you were thinking it was going to be quiet.
Yes.
Some people around the house relaxing?
Yeah. You know, we had 25 in for Christmas,
right.
So it was really nice to kind of, quietly address the New Year's holiday. So,
do you have any traditions that you do when it gets to midnight?
Yeah, I fall asleep.
Oh, there you go. That seems
fair. I'm sorry. It sounds exciting, doesn't it?
I expected you like in a top hat and a diaper on your roof shooting off guns and woo-hoo, New Year's is here.
In my younger years, Brian.
Okay.
You know, it's just, but the neighbors were starting to talk, so
I decided
to stay away from that, you know.
Probably good.
It probably is, yeah.
Now, this morning, Tom, I was watching the WGN Morning News, and in the 9 o'clock hour, they were talking about different new things from years past. And Mike Toomey played a clip of you, and I can't remember if it was 1981 or 1985, but they were touting your new high-tech weather maps in 1985, and it was about the size of a chalkboard, and it looked like you had painted it right before you came on the air.
Really?
As you look back, and you had lots of hair.
I know.
But do you look back at old footage of you and just feel remarkable about how long you've been here and what a treasure you've become? But
well, that's true.
How much technology has changed in what you do? Because now you've got computers behind you and interactive maps, and
it's
crazy.
It's interesting, Brian. We were the first station in Chicago to computerize our graphics. So I'm not sure what you were referring to there. But
this was just a still map, and you know where the cold front was coming down, you had white dots where snow was, and there was a line of it, the cold front was
dipping
down.
Yeah, it didn't sound
very
high-tech.
It was not at all.
No.
It was, but they said, oh, this was the new technology for this this year. And again, really? It was 81 or 85.
Gosh. You know something? I remember we used to do what was called Little Weather Break. It was in the evening movie. And it would take place for about 30 seconds, and we do it upstairs in Studio 3 here, which was the studio in which the booth announcers sat. So I was up there with, Cliff Mercer and... we've had so many great... Carl Grayson and so forth. I remember you'd walk in and Carl would say, he was there all by himself. You know, the guys would be there, sure. And they'd say available at Walgreens and stuff like that. This is WGN-TV and all the other things that booth announcers did. But I remember Carl would give you a countdown. You weren't quite sure what he was saying. He'd say, 5 years, 2 weeks, 1 day, and 36 minutes and 20 seconds. And I said, what is that, Carl? He said, that's till I retire. Oh, so I thought,
all right.
Yeah. So it was interesting, and I remember some of the tapes of Nightbeat, you know, because Carl would do that years ago, and he'd start laughing in the middle of the show, and he was in this little studio all by himself, and this is where we did our little weather breaks, and what happened there was Tony Sula was quite an artist. He'd worked with Harry Volkman years before I arrived here, and he would paint. We had painted maps in those days.
Maybe this is what it was, because this looked like a painted map.
Yeah, it was pre-computer, and for these weather breaks, we had plexiglass boards out in the studio that we'd use. But this thing, you'd come up with a little cardboard-size map that would slide into this little slot they had on built into the wall. And that's all we had is in the way of graphing for these little 30-second weather
You know
updates.
What? That must have been what this was, because what you're describing now is exactly what I saw this morning.
Yeah, and I don't remember us ever touting that as, advanced technology or anything like that.
Well, you know, Mike Toomey tends to be hyperbolic. I love him. He's very talented. He tends to make the joke, you know.
It sounds like Mike was having some fun with it.
It still looked phenomenal.
Oh, I tell you, it was. Well, I see those recordings. I didn't even know they were still around. It's rather horrifying because you see how the aging process.
I was going to say, you with your flowing locks. Oh, I was like, look at Tom with the hair. Oh my goodness, it was jet black
and
beautiful.
And about 30 less pounds, and you know, stuff like that. Yeah, the aging process is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a lot of fun.
And you revisit it every year with the new year. You go, oh, look, we're a year older. And,
yeah.
You know.
That's the one thing about being in this line of work. You know, they have photographic evidence of your demise. You know, so you're able to track just how far you've gone down from a hill from 1 year to the next, you know. And
but, I mean, one, I don't think that's true in your case. But two, the fact that the longevity, people don't care. They want to hear what you have to say. And there you are, and it's an amazing. It's got to be humbling, and I'm not trying to put words in your mouth or blow smoke, but it's got to be humbling at some point to look back and go, because your career. There's a lot of people in broadcasting who don't make it a fraction of what you've made it.
You know, I'll tell you, it's interesting you say that, Brian, because I think I came to work the first three quarters of my career, presuming I was going to be fired every day. And I, honestly, you know, I mean, I was my own worst critic and scared to death about getting fired. And finally, one day, I thought, well, you know, I'm going to make the dangerous assumption today that they didn't fire me yesterday, so maybe they won't today.
Yeah,
you know?
I'm just going to roll up in here.
Yeah, and go in there, and by God, it's worked all right for a while. So.
And for all the years, you are still the nicest person. You don't have an ill word about anything. I can't even
Violetta.
Believe it.
You haven't heard me.
I
have taken Bill Gates's name in vain more than once when my computer has crashed. If Bill were to have walked into the studio during the early days of Windows software, believe me, he and I have had some words, no question about
why
it.
Why I swear I'm going to the Apple.
And people who haven't met you, Tom, will see you on TV and say, can Tom Skilling possibly, can this personality possibly off camera? Because a lot of people would think he's so nice on TV. He must be backstage smoking and kicking puppies and pushing the elderly downstairs.
And I do. And that's, all those things. You know, that's the real me.
Those are your hobbies.
Sure.
That's what Tom does. That's how you can be so cheery on the air, because you get all your frustrations.
It's all an act, Brian. You know, it's just. I really. Yeah. Yep, I'm just as mean as you've imagined.
I tell you what, you probably are an Academy Award caliber actor, if that's the truth, because there's nobody who could. Now, Sam wants to jump in, because Sam always says, "Ooh, I've got some pressing issues for Tom," and I usually tell him, just keep it down, Sam.
Yeah. Well, I've seen the video. I think it was a mock video that you guys did at TV a couple years ago where you snapped on a producer or something.
Oh, Pat Tomasulo.
Yeah, Tomasulo.
Oh, yeah, so you snapped the Tomasulo, and they had you going bazonk all over the all over the
camera. How much fun was that?
Oh, it was, I remember Pat coming in, and he says, Tom, he says, we're doing this bit for the morning show. Would you help us out with this? And I said, sure, Pat, what is it you want me to do? And he said, well, I'll get you a script tomorrow. So he walks in the next day, and it says, I can have you killed and all the rest. And I said, you want me to say I can have you killed? He said, yeah, yeah. Ooh. I said, okay, we'll give it a whirl.
So we know the truth, Tom.
Yeah. And this was right after Sam Zell had bought the company. And remember, they put signs up everywhere saying, you own the place now.
Right, yes, you own the place.
So the premise of this piece was that Pat decided, well, since he owns the place, he's going to charge employees for parking in the parking lot, so he put a fence across.
Right.
And then he comes in the morning to the commissary and tells him how he wants his omelet cooked and where he wants it delivered. And I remember he had Dean Richards coming in. Dean was playing hip-hop on his car radio as he came in. And
as he's wont to do.
Yeah. And Pat, he was informed that he had to pay admission now for the free parking that we once had, because Pat owned the place now. So then he came back to me and said, you're fired. And that's where the bit began.
Yeah.
So I told him, I said, who are you to fire me? I own this place, and you don't even own your car, so who are you to fire
that's
me?
Right. That's true.
That's right.
Listen, and if push came to shove, we know who stays and who goes.
Oh,
let's
no.
be honest. No, come on. Pat Tomasulo does a fine job, but listen, push comes to shove. National treasure, Tomasulo.
Oh,
boom, that's it.
Yeah, I know.
Tomasulo's he's sitting on a corner treasure. With a cardboard box.
No, not Pat. Pat is very talented.
You don't even own your car.
Right.
Oh, that was funny.
Do you think he owns it yet? Or is he still renting?
Pat
still
has
leasing?
Done very, very well. He's a good guy.
No,
he
Pat
really
does
is.
Very well for himself. And
by
he's
the way,
very funny.
I saw a Facebook post from our Jeff Hoover, which I thought was great. Jeff was great at these posts.
Oh, yeah, always.
Did you see his post today? It said, you know, my 2016 New Year's resolution was I'm going to lose 20 pounds, and he said 30 to go.
Yes, I did see that.
That was good.
And this is the time of year. Did you make any? I know we talked. Did you make a resolution?
No.
Did you change your mind and say, all right, I'm going to make a resolution?
You know what? I'll tell you the truth. I hadn't really thought about it. I'm always making resolutions, so there's nothing, you know, it's not unique to New Year's.
Right.
And you set goals for yourself. So I guess it's like a resolution.
Sure, it is.
But you know what? I'm trying to get the forecast right. That's my resolution number one. And
there was a funny one actually on the roadways. I'm not sure exactly what state was doing it, but you know, on the highway sign, it said, "New Year, New You. Use your blinker."
I like that.
That is good.
That should be everybody's resolution.
Absolutely, there are some great ones out there. No question about that.
All right, Tom. I get up today. It's January 2nd.
I know, and it's
40-some degrees, and it's raining. What's going on with the world? Again, is this the end of days? You know, I tend to get very terrified whenever there's a weather anomaly.
I know. Well, it's just part of this La Nina winter, where you and I think we have climate change in there going to work in some respects, too. The cold air masses just don't seem to be as cold as they once were. And having said that, there's some pretty miserable weather going on just north of us and pretty wintry.
Yeah, and it's supposed to, I mean, this.
And we're going
to
get colder, too.
Right, because this is not going to last, right? This kind of 40s and rainy, which is, it's a lot higher than average. Isn't our average somewhere around 30 or something?
Yeah, we had a cool December. December was one of only 2 months it was cool. And now the last 4 days have been warmer than average, but we go back into the tank again. Only to warm up by early next week. So by Monday, we'll be back around 40 and probably fairly mild into Tuesday, too. And there may be another little slug of cool air that comes down. But everything is moving this year.
Okay.
It's a very transient pattern. So, I mean, think back to what's happened in January in the past. And you realize to predict 19, which is what we're predicting on Wednesday, and 16 or, you know, in that neighborhood on Thursday, and low 20s, 21 on Friday. You know, that's cold compared to what we've had, and the wind will be blowing, and the chills will be low. But, heck, for January, this week, we could be talking 10, 20 below zero, you know.
And yeah. And you mentioned this before with the El Nino winter. So it's all we're just going to see this up and down all.
Yeah,
can
La
we
Nina.
Expect this La Nina? Can we expect this all winter?
Yeah. Yeah, and what happens here is, you know, the jet will buckle a little, and you get this Arctic air to come down as it comes in from the northwest for a while. Then it'll flatten out, and you get back into Pacific air again. And what's amazing is, you know, in Florida, anybody's vacationing down there, beautiful weather. They had 80s down there.
Really?
Warmth, terrible thunderstorms on the Gulf Coast, tornadoes, and 80-mile-an-hour winds from Texas across to Louisiana, Mississippi. Oh. Alabama, a lot of flooding down there. And then you go up to the Canadian border, almost a foot of snow in parts of northern Minnesota and North Dakota. And back then they've got wind chill advisories in Montana. So that's where the cold air enters the country, hits this fast westerly jet, shears off to the east. We get in on it, but it doesn't penetrate deeply south into the country. So, and it keeps moving. So that's kind of nice.
Who knows? Can you give us a little forecast before we let you go?
Yeah. Tonight, fog and drizzle and some occasional rain. Temperatures will hold to about 34. And then tomorrow, again, fog, drizzle, some light rain. But the winds will pick up. We start getting to that Arctic air starts coming in with stronger winds late in the day. So that's when the fog ought to start blowing away. And by tomorrow night, the fog's gone. It's colder, single digits inland. By morning, upper single digits and about 15 in the city. And then a mix of sun and clouds on Wednesday and flurries Thursday and sun, clouds, and flurries on Friday and much colder.
All right. Well, there it's winter. It's January.
Yeah.
We can deal with all of that as long as there's not 18 inches of snow.
You're right.
I can be good. Tom, it is always a pleasure talking to you. Happy New Year. I mean it sincerely. It's
Brian,
one of the highlights when I'm in for Roe
to
get to talk to you.
Brian, I always enjoy talking to you. You're such a nice guy. And Happy New Year to you. And it's an honor to talk to you.
Well, thank you, Tom.
And
we'll
Violetta,
talk to
you too.
Thanks, you too.
And Sam and everybody.
Thank you, Tom. Happy New Year. We'll be watching on WGN.
Thanks, Brian.
Bye. That's Tom Skilling. You can hear him here with Rowanana every night at 6:30, and it is
he
it's
could
always
have you
fun.
Killed. He could have you
I
killed.
I heard. Listen, that why do you think I stay on Tom's good side? I'm not dumb. I'm slow, but I'm not stupid.